one day.
Good morning, listeners. I want to welcome you to this Because He Lives program, sponsored by the management of Federal Motor Spears and the Church of the Nazarene. I am Margaret Eversley, pastor of the Thought Scottish Church of the Nazarene, with you again today. I have with me this morning Dr. Janice Gibbs, another educator. You will observe that all the persons working with me for the past 4 weeks were mothers and school educators. This morning, we will continue the conversation on the theme, Restoring God's Value on Children. Dr. Gibbs, her expertise is with children who have special educational needs. She's going to look at placing value on children with disabilities, or special needs, I should say. In the past programs, we explored the scriptures which establish that children are more than babies born to parents. They are gifts from God. As a true father, he gave instructions as how they are to be treated and guided. Deuteronomy chapter 6, 7 to 9 is an example. Matthew 18, 2 to 6. We've all cited those examples in the past Sundays. Often we speak about children of tomorrow. And I said that in the first program, that is wrong. Quoting from the author, Johann Arnold, he titled his book, Their Name is Today. Their Name is Today. The essence of his book is a call to reclaim childhood in this hostile world with all the various issues that they have to face. Now, Dr. Janice, speak to us today about some of the special education needs that you have confronted as an educator.
Well, good morning and thank you for having me, Dr. Margaret. We could look at students with challenges in the physical areas, the learning areas, and the social emotional areas. The physical area difficulties that some of our children face are things like cerebral palsy, spina bifida, muscular dystrophy, Down syndrome. You know, that also affects the learning outcomes of the child. Students can also present with deafness or hard of hearing, or they could be students who are blind or have low vision. And in terms of the learning disabilities, there might be students who might be challenged with attention deficit disorders, intellectual deficits, traumatic brain injuries as a result of an accident or as a result of some blow to the head or a fall, and students who might be challenged with dyslexia and other processing disorders. Now, those last four that I spoke of, they are invisible, but they also can cause the challenges in the learning environment, especially when we have children who are not as readily able to accept the curriculum in the conventional ways that we are teaching. And one of the big ones that we are noticing recently is those students on the autism spectrum. There's a whole spectrum of disorders under the autism umbrella, and many of our children, according to the World Health Organization, there's 1 in 55 births that will be affected by autism spectrum disorders.
Whoa, that's a lot. And how could parents recognize such disabilities or such special needs?
Well, one of the first avenues that parents can take is to get a developmental pediatrician to have a look at the child if they suspect that the child may be challenged with any developmental delays. So, for example, the Children's Development Center, our polyclinics have pediatricians that are on call who might be able to identify the children that might be challenged with developmental delays. Our Queen Elizabeth Hospital, private pediatricians, they might also be able to recognize if there are any developmental delays in the child. But one of the, what I would call the on the street criteria, is if the student is walking late and talking late. The walk late, talk late is kind of a mantra that we use for, in layman's terms, to identify whether the child is not developing as typically as other children, if there are speech delays, if there are delays in mobility, and then if there are delays with the child's social interaction in the early childhood years. For example, there might be children who might play, but they do not play in an imaginative way. They may not play with other children. They may play beside other children, but they do not play with other children because socially they do not interact in that way. And these are some of the indicators that we may see in the early years that may tell us that we need to have a professional take a look and give us a diagnosis.
I smile at that because that hits a home key. Because I never talked or spoke until I was 7 years old, right?
Wow.
So that means I had a developmental delay. But in those days, parents wouldn't understand and persons to really identify that. So I never went to school till after 7 years old. When they started talking around seven, that's when they entered primary school. And that affected me for a lot of years because I was always behind classes, you know, at least two classes behind because I went to school at seven. So that is very interesting. I'm glad that we have come to that stage now where we can actually identify that and offer help to children. Yes, kind of told us what these parents could do, go and seek out help from pediatricians and other persons that would be able to help them. But sometimes parents are in denial. Help us to understand when parents are in denial, what kind of effects it could have on the child, because they don't want to know that their children, everybody wants their children to be perfect. So you don't want to know your children has any kind of, you know, situation. So you deny it, and you delay.
Yes.
All right, speak to us a little bit with that.
Yes, sometimes, sadly, parents are in that same cycle of grief that you would experience if there is a loss in your family.
Yeah.
Because the parents are grieving the loss of the child that they did not have.
Mm-hmm.
So they will have that shock and denial in the early stages of the diagnosis. Sometimes they get angry. We meet parents who are still in that cycle at the anger stage, and it takes a while for them to get over that anger. Sometimes parents are in the depressive state, you know, they're detached from the situation or from the child. I've spoken to parents who the child was in the room with them and it was as though the child was not there. They just did not interact with the child. And then they move into the bargaining stage where they try to bargain with God. God, if you do this, I will do that. If you allow this child to suddenly be typically developing, then I will live the life that you want me to live, and so on, until they come to the final stage of acceptance, where they can then now chart a course for the child and for themselves and for the family. It may not be the course that they would have thought of when they were pregnant with the child and when the child was coming, but a new course, a different course, a course where they support the child, where they seek to get the help and the assistance for the child. If the child needs the speech therapist, if the child needs the occupational therapist, the physical therapy sessions, whatever will assist this child in becoming better developed, in helping this child to understand his or her environment and be able to interact a bit more peacefully and in a bit more understandable way with the environment. That is what helps the child to participate a bit more in the social arena, in the educational arena. That support, those therapies and sessions that may be needed, that might be necessary, those are extremely important. And then the parent, him or herself, is able to go through those stages of grief and come to that acceptance, then that parent is then in a position to assist that child and give the child the supports, bring those supports underneath the child to assist the child in better development. Early intervention is so critical because when we can intervene early, we can put those supports and those therapies in place. It will help with the muscle development. It will help with the speech development, with the mobility development, all of the areas that the child may need support in.
Yes.
Once it's early, and we can work with the parents and the families in an early stage, that really helps the child with the development. And the children come such a long way when they have been given these opportunities to participate, when they've been given these opportunities to develop. I remember my second daughter as well, when her speech and her mobility was not coming in line with what we call the developmental milestones of early childhood development. And because I had a child before, I knew that there were certain milestones that she should have met. So early in the game, when she was not understandable to others, even at 3 and 4 years old, we went and we sought out the speech therapy and assisted her to speak in a more understandable manner. And one of the things that as a parent I like to advocate is that when these therapies are done with the children, it is not a question of, oh, they've had a session this week and we're waiting for next week. But all of the little songs and the ending songs and the beginning songs that the therapist was working on, they would give you a sheet. And you could work with the child on a daily basis to help support what the therapist is doing. Because the therapist cannot work a miracle in that hour. We have to help the child along as parents, support the child. So the speech therapist would give us the sheet and we would go home and we would get the child to say these songs. And you wouldn't know today that this child has had speech therapy.
I wouldn't know.
You wouldn't know.
I don't know.
She speaks extremely well because of the early intervention.
Oh my.
Yes.
But you've said a lot. But what comes into my mind now is, it seems like parental education.
Yes.
How does a parent get to that stage, you know, where they can be educated? Because a lot of things you said, so a lot of parents don't really know, right, what to do, right? And it's just, you know, play along and let the child, as you said, let the child go along and then it's too late. So how could it chart a path for these parents in terms of education?
Well, there are some support groups and they're specific to various disabilities. There is a Down Syndrome Association, there's an Autism Association, and so on, etc. There's OPAD, the Organization of Parents of Children with Disabilities, and then there's the Barbados Council for the Disabled, which is the umbrella body for all of these different organizations. But parents themselves have to be the greatest advocates for their children, because they have to be the ones to go and seek out some information. They have to be the ones who are going to be the champions for their children. And when they have gotten to that point in the understanding of the child's condition or the child's challenge, where they are ready to advocate for the child, they will seek out some information and be the best resource person for that child. Yes, there are professionals there that we can tap into. Yes, there are organizations there that we can tap into. But as a parent, we have to make the decision as parents to say we are going to find out as much as we can about this child's condition. The internet is there. There are so many videos on the internet. There's so much information out there on the World Wide Web that we can get to understand a lot more about the general condition that the child might have. And based on the information that we would have researched and pulled up, we would then be able to look at the specific child, because each child has his or her own unique identity and his or her own unique way. So we get to learn our child. We get to understand how the child learns, whether the child is visually stimulated, whether the child is tactile, whether the child likes to hear, you know, sound and music and so on, stories and so on. And we work in that way with the child to help the child to understand his or her world. And the parent's job is very, very important. The family is impacted as a whole when there is a child that has to have special therapies and special interventions and special education. The family is impacted. So the entire family should be on board. We should be talking about how we are going to help the child in the home environment, how we are going to help the child learn how to use the fork, how to use the spoon, how to stay away from the heat of the stove, and how to keep safe in the environment, how to help the child to button up his little shirt if he needs that, how to button up his little pants, how to pull on his underwear first. All of these things, dressing and grooming and brushing teeth and so on, taking the time to go through those things helps the child in the wider environment. So it starts at home. But the parents and the family do need the supports of some of these organizations, because we cannot do it alone. I do advocate that we put more in place for the persons who have children with special challenges. And the church. The church is an organization of great resources. We have educators, we have doctors, we have lawyers, we have social workers. We have a great deal of persons in the church. I'm talking about the church universal, I'm talking about the church regional, I'm talking about the church local. And we can bring to bear some sessions to help parents and others in the church understand. We can bring to bear some resource persons, bring them in and let them discuss with our membership what is happening when we hear the child scream in the church, or when the child runs up the aisle, or when the child is restless in some way and only the music soothes the child when there's the worship service going on, but then after the worship service, when there's no more music, why the child behaves like that and so on. And we could put things in place. We can give the child the little headphones and play the music during the service so that the child will be soothed right through. The child will have that music going the same time. But we can educate our people, and I think that the dearth of education is what really is hampering the advancement and the inclusion of our parents and children with special challenges who need special interventions.
I think we sit down and we wait a lot on the government and the education system and things like that.
True.
But if we understand that children are gifts from God, and the church is about God, all right?
Yes.
I am saying that we should be upfront. The church should be upfront in coming up with ideas and ways of trying to help these very children. Volunteerism is still a very, very important factor. You know, these educators and those persons that we have in our congregation can find time to volunteer to help with these children. And I think the church should be setting the example here in helping children. But many times the parents don't bring the children to church because they're ashamed. Their behavior, and they have to be running up and down in the church, members watching them and things like that. So we have this mental thing that we have to get together and recognize that these children are children of the Lord. The Bible said they're fearfully and wonderfully made. So even though they have disabilities or special needs, in God's sight, they're still fearfully and they're still wonderfully made. And God expects us as adults that we pay more attention to them. And I would advocate this, that we can find time to help those children who have their special needs. I want to commend you at Western Lake Church, where the children who have reading abilities, y'all, along with you and another group, you started remedial classes with them, you know, to help them. It was a small step, but it's a big step in a sense, because you're helping, again, many more could probably come, but they're not pushed by the parents, or the parents don't understand exactly what they need. And another thing that affects these children that have special needs, regardless of whether it's social, emotional, or whatever, is the, I should say, the extended family and persons in society, so to speak. You find that they look down on those children. They devalue those children.
Yes.
Right? And those are the children that get bullied in the schools that they have to go to school, or wherever you go, they get tears, and people make them feel that, oh, you're different. You're different from everybody. They're just differently able, right? But they're able. They have their own personal special abilities.
Exactly.
And I think that, how could parents help the extended family members to understand the needs of these children and help get some support from them as well?
You know, God is such a wonderful and awesome God that each of these students that we talk about that have these different abilities and these different challenges, they all have some gift.
Of course.
They all have some gifts. Some of them are excellent with art. Some of them are excellent with craft. Some of them invent things, make things. I had a little boy in my class when I was running the special unit. He would have something in his hand all day long while you are talking. That's how he learned. He had to have something in his hand manipulating. And from these little things, a little plastic cup, he would make spiders. He would make so many different things. He would just be inventing something while you are talking. And he can't read, he can't write, but he can make these different things, these different little animals and so on, because of the ability, because of the gifting he has.
Yes, exactly.
Some of them have gifts with technology. They're excellent with the technology. They're excellent with coding. They're excellent with the robotics programs that are being introduced now in the school. They're excellent with performance. They're excellent in music. Some of them are playing the piano and playing the keyboard by ear. But we have to expose them.
Yes.
We have to expose them to these different areas so that we can discover what are their giftings. Because just putting them there in a corner does not help. It does not advance the gift that God has put in them. And we have to give them a chance to express themselves in the arts and in the craft and so on. They may not be able to speak. They might be nonverbal. But when you see the art, when you see the craft, when you see how they make the little models and how they make the little dolls, some of them are making dolls with straw and making dolls with cloth and flannel and felt and with the little pipe cleaners. There's a little one that his mom told me he makes everything. And the boy doesn't talk. He just makes these little things, these little men, these little women, these little cars and everything, because it is just in him to make these things. And we have to give them the materials, the resources, the opportunities. Sadly, sometimes the special schools and units are not as resourced as they could be because of our small island developing state status. But sometimes we ourselves as a society, we look at the children and we first see the disability before we see the child. We look at the adults and we see the disability before we see the adult. And this should not be. We need to reverse that. We need to see the person because the person is whole in God's sight. They are a whole person, but it is just that there might be challenges with the mobility, challenges with the sensory area, challenges with the mental area, challenges with the physical area, some challenge that they might have, but we have to see them as whole first. So that when we come now and we are ministering, we are ministering in terms of the person's strengths. We're ministering in terms of the person's giftings. We're ministering in terms of the person's abilities that God has given them. So that we are not looking at it as a deficit model. We are looking at it as a model of they're bringing these strengths to the table. They're bringing these values to the table. They're bringing these giftings to the table. And we appreciate what they are bringing.
We have to affirm them.
Affirming them to what they are bringing to the table. Even if it is just a smile. There are some students, they're only lighting up the room with their smile. And that is what they have brought to the earth. And we have to appreciate that because that's what God put them in the earth for. And we are the persons that God is looking at to see how we are going to react, how we are going to include, how we are going to assist and support and help with the participation and development of these children. So the onus is on us. To respond correctly.
God says so. He expects us to work with these children. And recognize that they all have purpose. Every one of them have a purpose on this earth, regardless of what they are, who they are. And I still feel that in society that we can help those children to find a meaningful place. All right? without being looked down upon. Help them to understand that they have value, that they're valued in God's sight, and they're special in God's sight, and that they can make a contribution. They can, somebody look at them and we think that they're not benefiting the nation because they can't do the normal things, but they are contribution, a variety. God is a God of variety. And Lord, even in human species, we have varieties, and we have to understand that as Christians. And today I think that we would please God, and God would approve our actions if we, you know, put more effort into looking at those children who have special needs. Some of the big companies making contributions, they make contributions to all kinds of other great things, contributions into activities and probably toys and tools that could help these children to grow and develop and fulfill their purpose here on this earth. And I'm saying today that we are not to devalue any child, any person, because they're all God's children, and God loves them, and God wants to see them, you know, live out their purpose in this world and make a contribution. So today, I really want to thank you, though, for your wide area and how you were able to explain, because I've learned a lot myself, how you've explained these things. And these are things that we need to even get in the church and even teach in the church. So a lot of us in the church ignore these things, and we need to be educated, you know? So I really want to thank you today for being with us today, Dr. Janice, and surely you have really opened our eyes, read our appetite, so to speak, about these children who have special needs, because they're special to God and they should be special to us. So could you please dismiss us and pray?
Very well, let's pray. Heavenly Father and gracious Almighty God, we are so thankful to you. You have been very gracious to us, Lord. We thank you for grace. We thank you for strength. We thank you for knowledge. We thank you for wisdom. And we thank you for understanding. Lord, we want to lift the parents of children that have any kinds of challenges before you today. Lord, you know the journey that they have had. You know the struggles. You are well acquainted, Lord, with all of the efforts that have to be put in to make sure that this child or these children are given the kinds of supports and the kinds of therapies and assistance that they are going to need. So, Lord, we pray for the strength of the parents. We pray for the strength in the family. We ask, mighty God, that by the power of your Holy Spirit, that you would minister even to parents, parents that might be listening even now to this radio broadcast. Remind them, Lord, that they are not alone in this journey, but Lord, that you are with them and that you care. And we pray, mighty God, that as they lean on you, that they will continue to find in you the strength and the help and the assistance that they are needing for every hour of every day. We pray you bless our children. Continue to strengthen and anoint them, Lord. We know they are special to you, and that this is your mission for us, that we will learn to include and love and support and help those who need the assistance, those who are different in abilities. And Lord, that we would help them to develop and become the great potential that you have placed in them in the earth. We pray for our churches, Lord God. We pray for our society as a whole, that Lord, you would help us to be conscious of the fact that these children are not mistakes, but the Lord, that even though we are in a fallen world, you have placed gifts, you have placed abilities, you have placed so much investment into these children. These are your children, and how we treat them is going to be called to account in our own judgment.
That is right.
We pray, mighty God, that you would give us wisdom and understanding, and give us the ability and the impetus to go and find out, to find out for ourselves, to inform ourselves, so that we will not be moving in ignorance, Lord, but that we will be moving in wisdom and in understanding. We pray your blessing upon our churches, your blessing upon our society. And Lord, as we seek to bring a more inclusive and transformative educational system to bear for these children, Lord, as we seek to bring more resources to bear for these children, as we seek to bring better understandings and better equipment and better assistive technologies for these, our children, we pray, God, that you would change our attitudes and help us to be who you want us to be. Help us to love, help us to embrace, help us to support, and help us to give what we know we need to give in terms of time and in terms of our technologies and our know-how to assist those persons who need our help the most. We give you thanks and we bless you for what you are going to do going forward and even now, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.